Tonight, when you watch the local news here in Seattle, you'll see a woman sitting in the anchor chair. But 50 years ago, that was unheard of. Until Jean Enerson became the first female local news anchor in the country. Late last month, after a 50-year career, Jean Enerson retired from King 5. But in the late 60s, when she first joined the station, the newsroom was a very different place for women. Jean Enerson told Lisa Brooks that it was kind of an old boys club at King 5 back then.
Photographers who really didn't want to work with a female so they wouldn't get out of the car. And you just sort of play it by ear and cajole and say, well, Barney, wouldn't that be a better story if we got out of the car and shot the grain terminal at the Port of Seattle closer to it? Wouldn't that make a better story for both of us? And a photographer who wanted to go look at girls instead of shoot stories. And I said, well, okay, how about if we shoot the story first, and if we have any time on the back, then we'll go look at girls? I mean, you just sort of figure out what's going to work for everybody.
Well, what was it like? Were you nervous? Were you apprehensive being the first woman doing this? Because I don't think there was another woman doing local news anywhere in the country.
Well, not anchoring is what I'm told. Was I nervous? Sure. I mean, I even to this day get a little bit nervous because I think you're up then. You're excited for what you're doing. I was actually hired to work for a documentary production company, which is my background, politics and documentary production. And about a week after I got to King, that documentary film unit closed. So here I am with all I had from college, which or graduate school, books and boards and bricks and, I mean, what do kids have? And nowhere to go. So kind of hung around the newsroom and said, now. And, you know, it took me a couple of tries to get hired again. And then it was sort of off and running. And just, you know, keep your head down and keep your ears open and put one foot in front of the other. And then 48 years go by.
Really? What do you think it was about you that you ended up in the anchor chair?
I really don't know. Drive, curiosity, a willingness to try it. There was an anchor man named Jim Harriet, who was the sole anchor at the time that I had applied, and Jim was the most gracious, the most helpful. Jim moved over, made room for me. I listened to his voice, which was really great. I couldn't replicate the voice. I looked at how he dressed, which was sometimes polyester suits, and I couldn't do that on a regular basis. But he just advised and supported and made room for me, and we became terrific friends, and I just feel very lucky that Jim was gracious, and he was such a great anchor man. And, you know, I've always had really, really wonderful partners.
You were the first local TV reporter, among the first local TV reporters that was allowed into China after the U.S. and China established diplomatic relations. I think you went in 1979.
Right.
Why did they send you?
Well, Mrs. Bullitt, the founder of our company, was always very locally involved, but very globally interested. And she sent us to China at this really important period in the Northwest development because she recognized China was going to be a huge part of our future. Now, remember, this is back in 1979, and the Cultural Revolution had happened. China was suddenly opening its doors to the West. It had been closed for decades. And we had an opportunity to go in with the first American flagship and the first U.S. airplane that was going into Beijing and into Shanghai. And we went to cover these events. But our charge given to us by her was go to China and find the truth about what? You know, that's what I said about what. And so we looked at life in the Hutongs. We looked at life on the farms. We looked at urban life. I mean, we looked at all the things that were observable, but so much in China at the time was not. So much now is not. China then, we would say now, looked quite backward compared to us. And in 40 years, you see that China is a trade partner. China is what some would call an adversary. But China is very important to our future here in the Northwest. Very important. And, of course, it's important to the entire country politically. But we're in a key position. So what did she send us for? I think she just knew it was important in our future. And it is. It's very important. I mean, I think we have a different viewpoint on the West Coast than perhaps other areas of the country do. We're a very trade-dependent part of the world, especially part of this country. And we have, as you look at the presidential race unfold, many of us have a different view here than, say, the Midwest or even the East Coast, which tends sometimes to look more towards Europe. And I think the West Coast tends sometimes to look more towards Asia.
Do you remember what any of the specific stories were when you told from China that you particularly connected with, that you really enjoyed?
Oh, we went to a very small town where I don't think the residents had seen people with blonde hair and white skin, and they were clearly scared. And just the reaction that we would get, people were very friendly, extremely friendly, but some were frightened because they had been told we're the white devil and what to expect. So now you think about all that we see in pictures that travel around the world instantaneously, and we know so much about each other, and we relate so closely to each other now. The time is so different.
I'd like to take it back into the anchor studio, mm-hmm. where the chair where you sat for so mm-hmm. many years. What do you think you take with you from that studio?
Some of the most significant events, I mean, for sure, OSO was one of them. I wasn't really in the studio all the time. I was at OSO, and I was really heartbroken along with the people of OSO because 43 souls were lost. Parents were looking for newborns, for infants, and we, to some extent, felt powerless against the forces of nature, which was a giant mudslide caused by perhaps by building, perhaps by deforestation, perhaps by excessive rain up on the coast or the west side of the mountains. But we also engaged in a significant effort to help the community rebuild and to at least get through this very, very hard time. It was a hard time for everybody. And I remember that most vividly, not because I was in the studio, but because I was there with people day after day and feeling the heartbreak right along with them. I also remember vividly WTO. At the time, I thought, people are tearing our city apart. And some years later now, I realize this is the beginning of a very serious protest against the dislocation that some trade pacts create for some people. And the importance of job retraining, the importance of economic restructuring so that people aren't completely dislocated, that they feel a part of the community, they feel a part of the economy, that the trade agreements that we have don't have a negative consequence for everyone, but a positive consequence for our economy and for our population.
Are you going to stay in touch with your colleagues?
Do you think? Absolutely. Yeah. We're all very, very good friends, and we spent a lot of dinner hours together and a lot of dinner hours with you, with our viewers and your listeners. One of the things that I really want to impart is a tremendous gratitude I have for listeners and for viewers, because it is a partnership, and I feel very much attached to people in the community, to organizations in the community, and grateful for their support and grateful for the partnership and grateful that the things we can do together in our community. I mean, no, there are very few solo flights. Most of the great things that are done with coalitions of people, with groups of people pulling together.
Gene Enerson retired from King 5 late last month after 50 years at the station. She was the first female local TV news anchor in the country. Gene Enerson spoke with KUOW's Lisa Brooks.